Welcome back, Manic Monday, baby. It's Cork Stats, powered by the Mayo Media Net, here on YouTube, presented by Jock Market, the best brand new daily fantasy app. Wall Street meets Main Street, and you actually make money. What a crazy idea. Download that bad boy for free. They're going to match the first $100 for free. If it's free, it's for me. Use the promo code MMN, Mayo Media Net. We're just getting paid every day. I mean, if you just got to watch the first 5 minutes of the show every day, Monday through Friday, to understand why we need to be getting further away from standard DFS 10-team parlay style all or nothing and getting up in things like Jock Market. We're being sharp and inherent leverage with low cost. It's the free market, supply and demand. Like, it's actually a lot of fun to be smart and make money, get rewarded for being just that. Really can't optimize Jock Market. You got to get in there and do it yourself. Head on a swivel, tip of the spear, me, you, the Cork Stats crew. Man, I love every bit of it. Is this show the best or what? Bringing you the three pillars of profit here at the Mayo Media Net. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the audio only podcast, and also hit that automated thumb up, the like button, subscribe to the videos here, the channel here, make sure you're tagging Patty Mayo, letting them know how good of a job we're doing. Get up in the comments, hit me up on Twitter, MLB Moving Averages at MLB Moving AVG on a bird app. Man, if you can't find me, I don't know what you're doing, your ears are clogged up or something. Here we go, three pillars of profit, everybody. Daily, DFS, and Jock Market. We're going to go over the fantasy. You know me, man, I got the works today. I want this show to matter. It means a lot to me that this is not just going through the motion, some weird, you know, corporate fantasy show with people more concerned with cats and politics than actually the nuts and bolts of understanding, making you sharper and making you money and me along the way. All right, let's get up into Jock Market. We got a full slate today. The scheduling people finally did us a solid on Monday, and we have a late start. Fantasy players relax. You could wait for lineups. You don't have to rush. Love every bit of that. It can be a bit of a blitz sometimes, right, with those afternoon lineups. You feel yourself a bit forced. Not today. Jock Market, 6:40 start for games. I'm going to be doing this every day because it does change. We have other playoffs and other sports going on. They try not to coincide IPO. So 6:20 IPO today. But remember, even if you're not playing Jock Market, stick along for the first part of the show because these things really matter for DraftKings, right? Any name that we mention is viable for DraftKings because we're doing stacks, which are, of course, so important. And total base plays as well. I think certain people, I've seen a few people actually show me they've had success in that manner. And that's what I'm talking about, man. I love that the followership here and the listenership here is so sharp that I don't have to kind of tell you what to do. I just show you behind the curtain what's going on, my very best understanding of the game and what I expect and why. And then, boom, let's just go do it, man. I want you to outperform me. That's really the goal of all this. So, all right, I got a stack report up today. In general, you know, we're looking for, it's not always opposite-handed, but right now I've noticed, and maybe this is something to do with the ball. We've had some pitchers complain about break on certain pitches, right? We want to be listening to the players. Pitchers have complained about certain break, and we've seen that kind of materialize in individual pitches to individual handed hitters failing miserably. I mean, absolutely failing miserably. Numbers just completely off the charts and also out of line with prior track records. So these are the things that we want to be looking for. These are the things we want to be jumping on before they adjust. And if they adjust, then again, you know, we'll pivot once more. But it's really worked this year. We're getting paid up at Jock Market every single day. I'm telling you, download the app. The $100 is more than enough to do damage. You're not going to have to use your own money at all. All right, let's look at, we got the Pittsburgh righties, those buckos, man. I tell you, every time we run the Pirates, they do it for us. Love the Pirates. They're actually coming off a really bad game yesterday. That's my favorite time to look for offense, especially in this environment. Going up against Wade Miley, he's been okay, but listen, I'm just not buying it. These are small samples in 2022. Give me what I know, 900 career OPS against righties. I actually look up, he's given up 150 bombs to righties in his career. And then in particular, right, I mentioned those pitches. He struggled with the cutter to righties. So are we looking for Reynolds, Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, Diego Castillo, and Michael Chavis, who really hasn't been playing much, but you may get him in today, and that's really where we want to be looking. Now, again, these players might not be on Jock Market, but they're part of a viable DFS stack. And then also, last thing before we go through the rest of the stacks, how to apply this in Jock Market specifically. The best players, let's say 750, good to very good players, 550, and then everyone else, 350. Just some high, medium, low settings to keep you within yourself. Again, if you're using the promo code, I would leave those high-end players for now. I would focus on looking for larger percentage gains on the lesser-known players. Again, a guy like Diego Castillo might be really low-priced. And again, jock market, low price is inherent leverage. It's unlike DFS where the world gets the free square, the price doesn't move. This actually matters, right? So if everyone is on the free square and the free square becomes expensive, it's no longer free. And we can say, no, thank you. And that's, whatever, reason 7 million and 4 why jock market's so much better than DFS. All right, now we're looking for Miami Marlins righties against Aaron Sanchez. He's really struggled with his fastball combination. So both the four-seamer and the sinker, he's really struggled with righties. And generally what's happening is, pitchers either looking to get fully in, it's tailing too much, or looking to kind of tail away, it's not going enough, right? So I don't know if pitchers need to be moving along the rubber. Again, we're going to have to see these adjustments. Remember, betting in May is not the same as betting in August. The ball, the weather, again, that's why you're coming here, context and nuance, really at the center of all of this. So let's look for Abisail Garcia, Jesus Aguilar on a tail, and Brian De La Cruz. I love these kind of ancillary pieces. That's a really great way. They might be a half a base prop on DraftKings. You could smash that. Or DK, right? I want to give you the places where we're going to backfill our lineups to. Next up against T-Dub, my man, Trevor. Tyler McGill, I'm sorry, is down. The baby goat for the Mets. In his stead is Trevor Williams, T-Dub, going against the Cardinals. They were rocking and rolling yesterday. 8 up. Oh, Carlos Rodon, I can't believe it. Anyway, that's another story for another day. If you want to see me complain and hoot and holler on my Twitter handle, he has really struggled against righties in the small set, but in general, he's had trouble placing that slider, not enough break on that pitch. 1100X slug year-to-date is insane. It's off the page. Like, that's at the point where you have to discard it. If he's going to keep throwing it to righties, we're going to keep going after it. Righties have a 440 WOBA against this year. Look for Goldie, Arenado, and Juan Yepez. Man, I hate chasing the day like Goldie had yesterday, so I'd be looking more for Arenado and Yepez. Next up, the Elephants balancing on beach balls, the Oakland Athletics lefties against Chris Archer. Again, he's a fly ball machine. I'm just not buying what we're seeing right now. Yes, he has really benefited from the ball. The reason we like this matchup is it's going to be cheap. So we want to look for the, we got to wait for the lineup really. Oakland is a little bit wonky. But we're looking for Barrera, Seth Brown, and maybe even Tony Kemp. All right, another one, Tony Kemp kind of leads off. In jock market, you get a half point for every at bat. Just getting up and getting out could push you up the rankings. Again, something else, always make sure you're reading the rules when you're playing these games. It's a tremendous advantage. It really is a tremendous advantage just getting at bats. And if we think they're going to score a couple runs, again, Oakland, not great, but I think the price will remain low and open the door for a nice profit. So we're looking against Archer, 900 OPS year-to-date against righties. A little bit of bad math, 56% fly ball, 44% hard hit rate. And remember, that's Fangraphs, so that's subjective. However, is Baseball Information Solutions. So somebody kind of looking and saying, you know, this is a hard ball and not like a pop-up. So there's a lot of math that's going against them. We're starting to see the ball fly a bit. I think Archer gets touched up tonight. Last up, of course, it's games in cores. Sensatella going up against the Giants. But we're looking for Darren Ruff. Let's go Joey Bart and Tyro Estrada. Those are the Giants we'll be looking for. All right, let's dive up to the fantasy side here. So you got your stacks. We're going to backfill. That's our total base props and jock market. Hit me up on Twitter as we get closer to the day. I'm trying to just do it all. I'm trying to be everything for everyone. And I've had some other stuff going on, but you know, such is life. All right, let's do the fantasy thing. Again, this really is kind of it's a work in progress, let's say, that I'm always trying to change, but not flip-flop. I just want to be getting better and better and better. So instead of running you through the sheets all the time, and I find myself scrambled. I did the work of just getting up early and earlier. I'm just going to start at nighttime, and I work through burning the candle on both ends. Regardless, whatever, it's what I do. I kind of live for this stuff. So instead, I went through all the teams one by one just to pick the hand notes, right? Are we looking for pitchers? Are we looking for abs? Is it injuries? I just didn't see it for 2 days. We have an entire mountain of information to cover, so that's what we're going to do. I'm just not going to bypass it. Again, the show has to matter. If it doesn't become the best show in the nation, it's not for lack of effort or, you know, lack of caffeine, let's say, man. I'd be pumping the cold brew. All right, let's get it. At the top, the snakes with shapes on their back. We're going to do this really fast, but hopefully this is really the stuff that matters. Again, as you're paying attention, getting along through the day. So Seth Beer sent down. He's out. Alec Thomas is up for the Diamondbacks, and Mark Melanson is really, really bad. Next up, the Braves. William Contreras, brother of Wilson. He's very, very good. Looks like he's going to be catching. Got to add a guy like that. If he's beginning split time, and then, you know, he's one injury away from being the number one catcher on a very good team. keep an eye on Contreras. I also noticed Spencer Strider is listed to start. Keep an eye on him, plus the workload. If you have daily moves and he's available, you want to go for him. And we got to keep an eye on Ronald Acuna Jr. They said the news is good. He's missed a couple days. At this point, like, I don't, once you're out like 5 days, why not just give him the other five? So you got to keep an eye on Acuna. We're looking for news. You know, and my gut says you got to start him. In NFBC, maybe not. I don't know. It's a really tough, it's really, really tough to sit Acuna because when he comes back, he runs and stuff. So you really have to have an excellent replacement. Next up, Baltimore. Austin Hayes has missed three in a row. No IL yet. Jorge Mateo left the game with a hurt shoulder, but the x-ray is negative day-to-day. And then Felix Bautista has gotten the last two saves over Jorge Lopez. So you see what I'm saying? There's like a little bit of everything. There's no way for me to do that with a single board or a single tool. So we just have to use the whole tool bag as always. I added Bautista everywhere. For me, this was like the Danny Jimenez in Oakland. You know, people kind of let it happen. Go to Torino. Torino's not very good, and the situation's not very good. Same thing with Lopez. Batista's getting it done. The Orioles are half decent, and where they're starting to pitch between Bradish and Zimmerman, they're not terrible. So I'm surprised Bautista was not as contested as I thought. Add him in leagues. And I think, you know, if he gets two or three saves this week, you have a viable bad closer, right? Remember, we're just trying to be realistic here. Next up. Boston Red Sox, my boy Bobby Dalbec actually played two games in a row versus a lefty and a righty. I mean, listen, we're going to get this guy some love. He barreled the ball. He's looking a little bit better. They just won't give him the playing time. Of course, Francisco Cordero looks decent. It's just ridiculous. Boston's a disaster. I'd be getting my good players, young guys, time. I think they're fighting right now reality of possibly having to not break it down, but just rebuild. Again, people think, because if I ever say anything negative, that I hate them. I'm just being realistic. If that was my team, they have a ton of talent, I'd probably move somebody like Xander and be building around all the youth. And it's Casas and Whitlock and Houck. I mean, these guys are really good. I don't forget anything for JD. So maybe sit on JD and let him kind of anchor that offense and be still the face of that team. I don't know. Boston's got to make some changes. Next up, Chicago Cubs. Rowan Wick with Dave Robinson down. He's been out for a while with COVID. Don't know the deal. He's been getting saves. Nailed down another one. Nico Horner to the IL. And Rafael Ortega has now played in five of the last seven, although they were all against righties. But, you know, that's the strong side of the platoon. He's starting to get some playing time now. Chicago going back into the tank. Over to the White Sox. Andrew Vaughn is back. They also have eight games this week. Five games Monday through Thursday. So it's all systems go for White Sox. That's including like a Josh Harrison at the middle infielder spot. Next up, Cincinnati Reds. Hunter Green was really, really good. Well, I was adding Hunter Green already. If you're listening to the show, he was on last week's. That waiver show has been very effective. I'm going to keep doing that, right? So you see how certain things I'm moving, we're going to be shifting because I want it to work. That show is awesome, man. Let's stick with that. You got to add these guys before. It's about potential. He's still young, growth not being linear. Hunter Green looks awesome, man. And if you just added him like I did for free in my home league, you know, he's a guy people were drafting. Also, Nick Senzel rehabbing this week. He should be back soon. He's killing me. I'm holding him for whatever reason. It must be an Italian thing, man. I don't even know. All right, next up, Cleveland Guardians. Not much going on there. I'm trying to trade for Andre Jimenez, right? So I've been adding him in leagues where I had lower replacement and 12 teamers and stuff like that. For me, he's legit. He looks really good. We could be getting like the ceiling play from him. He just looks sharp, doing all the things that we were hoping for. And again, if he's terrible, you could discard him. But I think Andre Jimenez on the way up. Colorado Rockies, Chris Bryant is rehabbing this week, aiming for a Friday return. So you're sitting him Monday through Thursday, circling him for the end of the week. Also, my boy Sam Hilliard playing every day, also mentioned on the waiver show, right? You're going to be on top of the spear. By the time you're hearing me today, hopefully you have either daily ads or maybe, you know, a league that has a blind spot perhaps. But, you know, you got to be on top of the stuff. So Hilliard, we identified with potential. He's starting to play. He's starting to produce. I've always liked Hilliard, so I'm not just really trying to stand for him, but when he's playing every day, he's a guy you got to circle. Detroit Rock City, Victor Reyes, back to the IL. As soon as he got back, pulled up limp on a double, I think. Also, Austin Meadows to the IL. Gregory Soto did get the last save, but it was Will Vest before that. So if you're speculating, maybe Vest, I don't know, really kind of tough way to go there. Next up, Kansas City Royals with cheese. Scott Barlow looking like he's got a hold on that closing job. Two saves this week. They also have eight games this week. Nothing much going on there as far as lineups and stuff like that. I'm trying to do it all Los Angeles Angels, they are cruising. Keep your eye out for Chase Silseth. I've added him in leagues. He looked excellent. I did some digging under the hood. Got to keep an eye on him. Angels also look really good. Winds are very tough right now. Keep an eye out for Silseth. And Angels are my survivor pick of the week. How do you like that, man? I forgot about that. I added that in. Mo, looking at you, kid. We're going to run out Angels this week. All right, next up, Dodgers. Muncy's been sitting against lefties. You're probably playing him regardless. Marlins, Lizardo down with the forearm. Circle, Cody, Poteet. But he is not getting the start that I thought he'd be getting, darn, either today or tomorrow. Mangley said they'll be going with Alcantara. He's going twice. He was starting him regardless. But I think you got to circle Poteet. I know everybody's running for Max Meyer. Granted, he is the future piece. He's probably owned. Go get Cody Poteet. He, I think, might be the more immediate return, and he could stick. Elias Hernandez looks awful. I think he's on the way out. Also, Garrett Cooper is down with a knee day-to-day. Got to be careful there. Willie Adames left the game with an ankle. X-rays negative. They're saying day-to-day. I am skeptical when I hear ankle. They generally like to give those a couple days with the swelling, but we'll have to see. Keep an eye on the news. I might be looking to sit Adames first half of the week. Next up, the other note I have was Jace Peterson has played 6 of the last 7. He was on the sheet last week. Add Jace Peterson, right? So this, again, the validation is afterwards, all right? So we put up the call. These notes are since then, because that show is, what, Thursday, right? So we've had these days since then. We're on the front of those sine waves. Get with Jace Peterson. He's also multi-eligible, so he is extremely useful in NFBC-type leagues or daily leagues in general, where you get multiple shots to change your lineup. For the Twins, Byron Buxton back, hit a home run. What else is new? Bailey Ober looked really sharp in rehab. If he's available in your league, add him. Also, Emilio Pagan got the last save. It's a little messy there, but I guess you could go look for Pagan. New York Mets, Baby Goat Gill is down. Bicep tightness, nothing structural. So I guess that's good. I mean, obviously, you're holding him. IL spot, if you have, you don't drop him, especially with the no structural news. Keep an eye on that. Maybe he'll be good and we'll be fine. T-Dub in his place. Yuck. Next up, my New York Yankees. Gleyber has hit 2 of the last 4 after looking okay. He's been a bit sketch to play. Yankees are really rotating a ton. Everyone's gotten a look, but Gleyber really has been on the short side. Next up, Oakland. I mentioned Barrera. He's up and he's on fire. The playing time has been spotty, but keep an eye on it. They're not very good, so guys that are hitting generally will get pushed up. Keep an eye on Luis Barrera. May want to add him early. Razor Ramon is back. Must be owned in all leagues. Also, Seth Brown is sitting against lefties, and Danny Jimenez is the closer. Next up, the Phillies. Bryson Stott and Odubel Herrera sit against lefties pretty much universally. So, you know, those are the things we want to be looking at. Other than that, all systems go for the Phils. Pittsburgh. Rodolfo Castro is up, which basically pushed Michael Chavis to the bench. He was okay off to a decent start. I think they're really looking to just platoon him. We mentioned that. We may see him today. San Diego Padres, those Friar Tucks. Blake Snell is back. He's in line to start Wednesday. I'll be honest. I know people hate to hear this. I generally do not start players the first time off the IL, though I'm not the best analyst. That is the one rock I forgot to unturn. I didn't track his minor league stuff. So actually, I will take it back. If the pitch count was there, right? So if we got 5 or more innings, if we got maybe 65 to 75 or maybe even more pitches, then maybe. Because I really want at least 5 innings, but generally, and maybe even this time, depending on my own replacement value, I really don't like to start guys the first time. In fact, we're probably betting against Snell the first time, right, for the first 5. I mean, it's just what it is, right? And you don't expect guys to generally come out and be razor sharp. We saw that with Castillo just now. It's just, this is the way the game is played. So, you know, don't take it offense. I love Blake Snell. Wakey, Eggs, and Blakey will be getting on that, you know, as soon as he's ready to rock and roll. For the Mariners, Mike Ford and Steven Souza are playing. They are, like, circling the drain right now. I think they'll get it back. Castillo, Suwald, and Steckenrider all had a save this week. That's a tough nut to crack, but they're all really good. So I think those guys are viable. That's why I mentioned it there. Giants, Jock Peterson and Labonte Wade are sitting against left-handers pretty much universally. Luis Gonzalez played every day regardless. Definitely circle him if you're in need of some playing time and make an offer on Carlos Rodon because he got smoked. Just, I always do that in case anyone thinks these guys are, like, hurt or something, because it does happen. Guys get hurt, and it's not like a rage drop, but people just overreact. Next up, the Cardinals. Alex Reyes shut down again. Tyler O'Neill sitting 4 of 7. I am pulling my hair out. I am going absolutely insane. Hopefully it's just to try and get him right. You cannot be sitting this guy. I don't believe Tyler O'Neill is a bench player. I'm absolutely freaking out right there. Also, Jordan Hicks, worth a look. He's getting stretched out, right? He was starting and opening. Now he's at 5 innings. He could be effective. He's going to get to 5 or 6 innings. He's a legit starter. Tampa Bay Ray's choice sits versus lefties. Brujan has played 4 of the last 5. If you got to add him, it's also been half of the time at second base. He's going to get second base eligibility. So he really, that his potential value changes with his position eligibility if he's going to be at middle infielder and getting playing time. Keep an eye on Vidal. Brujan also saves or a mess there. 3 different guys had to save this week. Texas Rangers, I dropped Glenn Otto, who I like coming in, but he's getting smoked. Now just might not be the time. I added Cole Calhoun. As yesterday, he was on the sheet. Yesterday, hit 2 home runs yesterday. He was on the sheet last week, I should say. Hit 2 home runs yesterday. Now the world is on him. Brad Miller sitting versus lefties, and Joe Barlow had 2 saves this week. The Blue Jays are ready to ramp back up. Jansen, Springer, Tate Oscar are back. That offense has been ultimately frustrating. Once that beats ball pops, they're going to explode. Last but not least, Washington. Lane Thomas and Victor Robles are in a platoon. Absolutely yuck. Go scoop up Yadiel Hernandez everywhere. For whatever reason, people don't believe in it. And I guess, I don't know, it's that like late breakout thing. A guy I was drafting and drafting old again. I don't think I expected what we've seen, but he was going to play. I thought he was going to play. I thought he was the better hitter of the outfield options. You hate to drive narratives too much, but guys hanging out with Juan Soto and Nelson Cruz, like, you'd think just sitting next to them on the bus, you'd become a better hitter just by osmosis. So, all right, let's dive into the betting board. We got a couple of bets here. The betting room has been brutal lately. And again, you know, really, that's why the risk is so important. We make no excuses for results. But it's funny, I can get murdered as far as outcomes, but I never get murdered as far as like the account, right? Because the account is always being so firmly regulated. I bet in decimals, you know, tenths of percentages, which relate to percentage of total stack. I should say percentage, decimals of units, fractions of units to represent a percentage of total stack. Now, that's a mouthful, but it's worth it when you're losing, because we have not been killed or losing one-run games and total disappointments. I mean, it's just what it is, and we have to understand that. You almost come to appreciate it in a weird way. You come to appreciate your own ability to absorb the blow. Like Black Panther, I'm not the big MCU guy, but right, he takes the blow, and that makes him stronger for the rebound, and I think there's a really childish but maybe astute lesson in there. All right, we're going to go with the thing we always do. I'm not going to get off the things that I do because we dropped a few games. All right, so we're looking at the Cardinals. We have the pitching edge. I believe we have the offensive edge, and we're getting a plus price. Milwaukee, I believe we have the pitching edge. I believe we have the offensive edge, and we have a decent price. And then we're over to Minnesota and Oakland. I'm just not buying these totals. The ball is starting to move a touch. Archer, I think, has been very lucky. And then it's Logue. They've been okay. These bullpens are not great at all. I don't know, man. I got to go over 7.5 here for Minnesota and Oakland. Granted, I have had trouble. It's not just me, along with the entire world, have had trouble finding offense. But I think what you do, got to be careful trying to chase the jersey, right? That is, we'll get you in trouble. You've been chasing the Toronto Blue Jays jersey for overs. That's not going to do it. We've done well on Oakland overs because the total is so low. So give me Michaelis today for sure. I mean, he's looked great, and I think his game really, it plays right into the ball against Trevor Williams, who's really not very good. I know the Mets are good and at home, but you got to give me the Cardinals against T-Dub. This one is I don't really understand the pricing here, to be honest. Ian Anderson's been good, but not great. The Sierra up near 5 against Freddy Peralta, who I think that's a landslide. The Brewer offense is at least, you know, toe-to-toe with it with Atlanta. So as much as I like Atlanta, and you hate to go up against him, I mean, Peralta, if anybody's going to shut him down. So I believe in the things I believe in. Give me the pitching edge, give me the strong offense, and not buying those totals. So that will do it, everybody, on the Manic Monday Show. Hip, hip, hooray. I hope you enjoyed it. Absolutely love doing it, and it keeps me sharp. It keeps you sharp. And gosh, I don't know how much more you could cover in 20-some-odd minutes. So that was the 3 pillars of profit. We got all of our stacks in place for Jock Market, for Daily, for DFS and the like, total base props, the whole nine, all 30 teams, some heads up on players to avoid, players to add, players to drop, even some relievers, some injury updates, the whole thing, and the daily parlay. Let's get this one. And last thing on the parlay, remember, it is not just a joke for me. It's not a game or a joke for me. I mean, you know, we're looking to win. That's why you notice the pricing. I generally like to keep them above plus 500, closer to plus 600. Idea being, if we hit one every week, the week is profitable, like to a percentage gain, which is really the point. Last week, man, we didn't get one. It slipped our fingers. We had Boston. We had everything in line. Boston was tied. Had actually two followers hit me up and asked me if they should hedge. I was like, dude, the way things are going, yeah, the way Boston's playing, yeah, you should absolutely should hedge. We're just not getting the bounces, and we did not. But things could turn around on a dime. I'm not about to throw away, you know, a decade of experience on this stuff. I hope you don't, you know, get mad. I'm laughing, but you got to have a good attitude. So rate, review, and subscribe to the Audio Only Pod. Press the like button. Please subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. Make sure you're checking us out Monday through Friday. Everything, something new every single day. Tuesday and Wednesday, we mine the advanced stat leaderboard. I have stats that not everyone has access to, time sorted, and we're going to look for diamonds in the rough. And it's worked all year. We're the first people on so many players this year. It's been awesome, and it's very early to already be talking about that, but it's the truth. We were on Vogelbach first. We're just reaping crazy benefits. We were on Brandon Drury first. Now it's crazy benefits where people have still been scratching. Is this guy good? Is this guy good? Is this guy good? I don't know if it's good. Well, we're on like week three or four of windfall profits, and that's kind of how you do it. Remember, malleability, tip of the spear, being sharp, being willing to be wrong. You know, these are all the things you're going to hear me talking about all the time because that's what matters. All right, man, I love doing this. If I could, I'd stay up here all day. Check me out on Twitter. Hit up the shows. Make sure you tag Patty. Get up in the comments. Let me know how I'm doing. I'm going to do my best to get the Patreon stuff out. I got a VSIN gig now. I'm there every day. It's been very difficult. I'm going to do my absolute best to be everything to everybody. Only go around this world once. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, check these out later, man. Catch us on the flip side. Remember, when you work this hard, it feels like a lot less luck, yo. Peace.